Hi, this is Jojo Spinks of Interwoven Production CIC. I'm here with Dorothy Simmons, who's very kindly agreed to provide us with an oral history about St. Thomas for the Generational Echoes project. So here we are on the 22nd of March 2023, and I'm going to hand over to Dorothy. Thank you very much for seeing us.
Pleasure to see you here. Thank you. My name's Dorothy Simmons. I was Dorothy Williams. I'm the youngest of seven sisters and one brother, and we lived in Powderham Road, which is just behind the health centre in Cowick Street. I was first of all went to Barton Road School. I remember my first day at school. We went out of the back door, and the wall at the back seemed very high. But if you go there now, you can almost step up onto it. But of course, the health centre has been built on that patch. We called it the dump, and that was our playground. And you could play on the dump and go right across and come out between some cottages, and you'd be in Cowick Street. You didn't even bother to go up the top of the lane and go through Barton Road, past the school. So I was at Barton Road Infants until I was about four or five, I suppose. I can't remember. I remember being taught to knit there. And I've knitted ever since. I used to sell my knitwear in France for 7 years, about 20 years ago now. And four and five of my sisters used to come with me, and they would knit as well. And we'd spend at an international fair in Cannes and sell our knitwear and always sell out. Then from there I went to, going back to Barton Road, we used to have little cots to sleep on every afternoon. There weren't always enough beds. So some of us slept on coir mats, sort of oval shape, leave a mark on your face. But we all always went to sleep for some reason. I don't know if they do that now, whether children go to sleep in the afternoon. Then I went to Montgomery. And while I was at Montgomery, the Second World War started. So we were all issued with gas masks. Mum had to go to Borough Hall, I think, and collect our gas masks. And we'd have to sit in the class with them on to practice, and of course that caused a lot of laughter because it would look so silly. But I enjoyed Montgomery School. We had some lovely teachers, Miss Horst, Miss Berryman, Miss Stephens was headmistress. I really enjoyed that. Then we came up to the 11 plus. Sadly, I failed my 11 plus because some of the subjects were things that we hadn't been taught. For instance, in maths, it was what's the square root of a particular number. I didn't even know what a square root was. I soon found out, but I did fail my 11 plus. So I went on to Union Street School, which was all girls. Now it's a middle or junior school with little infants there. And 2 or 3 months ago, I saw in the paper it was the 150th birthday or founding of St. Thomas School, and they were having a birthday party. So I was invited to that. It was lovely. They've got a nice mosaic plaque on the wall to say it's 150 years ago it was built. Met a lot of the teachers. I met a very nice headmaster. We've got male teachers there now. We only had women teachers. Miss Burridge was our headmistress then. We had quite a mixture of teachers there. Some we liked, some we weren't so fond of. I learnt to swim at that school. We didn't go to the swimming bars until you could actually do the actions. We had to lie on the desk, stomach down, face down, and learn the actions of your arms and legs. And then we were given a ticket and were able to go to the swimming bars once a week on the bus. I enjoyed school very much. I did like school. My favourite subject, English, composition, they called it, and art. Wasn't terribly good at sums, math, still not terribly good at it, but I do love English. While I was there, my brother joined the Air Force. One sister worked in Whipples, making parachutes, the ecclesiastical business, but they went over to parachute. She worked night work. She joined the WAF. The next sister, she also joined the WAF. The next sister joined the Land Army, and that left three of us at home with mum and dad. My elder sister had previously left because she was married, and she lived in Paris Street with my aunt and uncle. And that left three of us. Then the next, I'm the baby, next one up to me, met an American sailor from Topsham Road, the supply depot. And when the war finished, he was sent back to Georgia, in the southeast Georgia, in the United States. And they stayed in touch. And when she was 17, she took a suitcase and went to America, where she stayed until she died 4 years ago. But she was married for 60 odd years up to her husband's death. We had a lot of London evacuees in school, a lot of girls. They're very worldly to us, very grown up. But they mixed in very well. Some of them were placed in houses in Powder Road. We didn't have any because there were so many children, but there were two next door to a widow lady with just one son. And across the road, a very pretty blonde girl called Pamela Bennett was taken in by an elderly couple, and they absolutely adored her. And they left, when they died, they left everything to Pam. And she used to come down and visit them after the war with her family. Yeah, so she was a very lucky girl, because some weren't very well accepted. The people sort of felt they had to take the children. And sometimes it was brother and sister, they tried to keep them all together. But it's quite an exciting time for us. Someone said to me yesterday, "You must have been terrified." And I said, "No, we weren't. My mother showed no fear." We'd go to bed and the sirens would come on, and she'd just come in and say, "Come on, kids, it's all right, it's one of ours." And we'd go up into Cowett Lane and sit in the hedgerow in Cowett Lane until the all clear went. There was a big brick shelter at the bottom of Powder. There was at the bottom of every road, big brick shelter, but smelly, wet concrete, horrid. So we never ever went in there. At the top of the road, there was a big static tank full of water, got rubbish thrown in it, prams, bicycles and things. In the end, because children would climb it and fall in anyway. So in the end, they put chicken wire all over it. There were huge iron pipes in every gutter to carry water in case of fire. My father served in the First World War in the Royal Naval Air Service, so he didn't have to go to the Second World War. So he was an air raid warden. We had a stirrup pump and a bucket. And look at thinking back, a bucket of water in your house with somebody outside pumping like that, couldn't have done a thing, would it? But we just, it was the morale, I think, that just kept us going. And sometimes we would sleep under the chairs, under the stairs. My dad whitewashed under the stairs and blankets and cushions there. And we would go in there, and we were all in there, well, the three of us, when Barton Road got hit, just up around the corner. And I remember that bomb falling. I do remember that. But then when my dad, he was in Plymouth working on the bomb damage down there. But if he was at home and we had a drop of petrol, we did have a car, we were very lucky, he would take us out to Tebra and St Mary, leave us there in the hedge, and come back into Exeter. And one evening, a farmer came down, Mr Stanbury, and he said, "You can't keep these children out, you must come back to the farmhouse." So we used to go to Tebra and St Mary, to Mr Stanbury's 5 mile farm. It's up the hill, but it's not there now. And stay there, and I used to spend my school holidays there and help with the haymaking. They're very kind people to do that, to take three of us in. And when my sister and my aunt and uncle were bombed in Paris Street, they were sheltering in the wine vaults across the road from that, and the landmine fell, so they were buried, but they were got out the next day. And when they got out, there was nothing of Paris Street left. And all I've got is her ivory-covered hymn book that she carried on her wedding day. She lost all her wedding presents. I'm going away from St Thomas, aren't I?
Fine.
Am I right? So going back to St Thomas, I can start at the top of Carrot Street, from where the Green Gables is, John Stocker School. And if I come down one side, from Dunsford Hill, is Falmouth Inn, which then became the First and Last. Then there were some cottages, and I remember Burnett's Sweet Shop. Never went there, went across the road. A bit further down was Weston's, the Baker's. And they were very good. They would let my mum and other ladies, women, take their cakes there to cook in their ovens, which I thought was extremely kind, very good. Then we came to Barton Road School, and the lane through to Eads, best pickled onions in the world. And the post office on the corner. There was also the school where I went, right there. It's now a social thing or something else, isn't it? Quite different. Which leads to Churchill Road, and just at the end of the lane, the school lane, there was a sweet shop run by Mrs. King. And it was a really old-fashioned sweet shop, but we used to go in there and buy sweets. But of course, they were rationed. You had a page of coupons. There were D or E, and one was like 2 ounces of chocolate, and the other one was 4 ounces of chocolate, and that would have to last you. And I pined for sweets, but you're just restricted. You couldn't get them. Now there's a row of cottages going in to the dump, which was our playground. Boy down the road, Clifford Miller, he used to collect postcards, or we collected postcards, and he'd get an old princess style pram. Do you remember, like the Queen had the children in with a well in the bottom? And you'd get in there for a couple of cigarettes, and he'd just spin you around. And that was our playground. And we were so happy. We didn't have to go very far. As we go into Barton Fields, just through Barton Road, and we always cut through one of our friends' houses out of their back door to save going the long way around. Just laziness. But we'd play in Barton Road or on the dump, mostly the dump, because it was right there on our doorstep. So going round from the school, I'm don't exactly know what order, because there's Old Vicarage Road then, and right on the corner was Eastman's, the butcher's, and I had a crush on the butcher boy. He didn't know that, and of course I've always been reasonably tall and leggy, so he probably didn't pay any notice to me, but I thought he was gorgeous. And then next to that was Channin's, lovely double-fronted, beautiful store, really good grocery store. Next to that was Mr. Kerr. I knew his daughter. I think she was at school with us. But he made the best pasties. And you could see him inside rolling pastry and filling them and making them. There was a little tiny shop next door. Next to that is the vicarage, the big house. And then, of course, you've got the churchyard and St. Thomas Church. Buller Hall was right beside it before you got to the church. And that was turned into a British restaurant during the war. So we could go there and get a meal for about a shilling. Basic meal, but enough. There was one in Paul Street. I think there were several around the city, but the Buller Hall was good for us. We didn't have many school meals for some reason. I can't remember why we didn't. I do remember the school meals, but the Buller Hall was probably a bit easier, and they had dances in there and concerts and things. Then after the Buller Hall and the church, you got to the lane, and the pub was the Prince Albert. It's changed to something else now, or is it apartments? I don't know. But didn't visit pubs in those times. I was too young. I didn't go far from St. Thomas. Very rarely went over Exbridge, because everything was there that you needed. You didn't need to go up into the town. The only time I remember going to the town, my mum took me to the cinema. I saw Sabu the Elephant Boy. Goodness knows how many years ago that was. And I've tried to look it up in Halliwell's film, but it's not in there. So it must have been really, really ancient. Then there was White's the Baker's. And a neighbour of ours, just two doors up, Joyce Smith, she was called. She had just got married to a sailor And sadly, he went down on HMS Hood soon after they were married. But she was working in the Mr. White's baker shop, and eventually they married. So sort of a happy ending, but terribly sad at the time. I just remember, and I wasn't very old, but it sort of stuck on my mind that she just got married and he just disappeared and gone down with HMS Hood. And I think there are very few survivors on that. I was fascinated by the newspapers showing maps of the war every day, how the front lines changed. That fascinated me to think we were doing well or us sent back, but it just fascinated me the way the maps changed with how our armies were doing. Then there's the archway to the Co-op, which takes you through to Union Street and Church Road and all that. And my mum used to shop there or send us shopping. She did most of the shopping. She spent most of her time at home cooking, cleaning, knitting and sewing for us. She used to knit all my dad and my brother's socks. They never, ever wore shop socks. And her dividend number, OM38. At the end of the year, I suppose, she used to collect a benefit of some sort, a dividend. But always remember the number. Isn't that strange? How you can remember OM38 was her number. Ask a lot of young people and they would probably tell you. My wartime number, in case I was found dead anywhere, had to carry an identity card. My number was WDBV3579, because I was the ninth person in the house. My dad would be one right up through to me. When there were 10 of us, my eldest sister never lived with us because she had married and left home. Then going down a bit further was the warehouse, Keneally's. I think you can still see the warehouse on the wall at the side. If you look up, if you look upon any building, it's amazing what you can see up there, what's left of many years ago. And Keneally's, they had a son, Tom Keneally. This would have been in 1951-52, the Korean War started. And he went to Korea and he just disappeared. And it was years later he came home. Great celebrations. He'd been a prisoner of war. And they finally let him go home. Then there's the railway, St Thomas Railway. Nearly everybody went to Dawlish Warren on a Sunday, Saturday or Sunday. The platform was heaving with people, standing room only inside. And the majority of people would just get off the train, walk on the path and flop down. And it'd really be better if you walked through the crowds and got over to the dunes. As I was got a bit older, as a teenager, I was with a crowd of similar age, and we used to cycle to Dawlish Warren, stop halfway down at the pub at Cockwood Bridge, you know, for shandy, or sit on the wall, and then we'd spend our time in the sand dunes. The boys would go off and play football, and the girls would just sit and chat, as innocent as could be. There were never any shenanigans going on. Nobody ever came home pregnant or anything like that. Another one. I know one girl got pregnant and it was like the talk of the school. It was dreadful, that sort of thing happened. And then further down from the railway, I've forgotten some of the shops down there, but somebody said to me this morning, she said, oh, I remember a horrible shop there. It used to have rotten teeth in the window. So it must have been a dental practice or something, but I really don't remember that. And then right on the corner, leading round to Arvingham Street, was Courtney's. Big department store, haberdashery, all sorts of things on there. That was well-known Courtney's. And then just going into Arvingham Street, lovely fish and chip shop called Hutchins. I was at school with the daughter. There was a pub there. And one of my walking group, her relations, Wellaways, which is quite a well-known local name. And then beyond that were Sluggards the Butchers. And one of my contacts, I don't know whether it was a grandfather or dad or uncle, he used to get a sheep's head there every week. And if you know the corner of Campton Street, that health food shop, there is a brass sheep's head in the pavement. You have to search for it. I have seen it, but I can't tell you exactly where. But it's on that corner. There's a pedestrian crossing. And it's on that corner somewhere. And I can't remember because I've never looked for it since, but I have found it. But he used to buy this sheep's head, and however they put this in the pavement, I don't know. It must be still there because I don't think they ever dug up the paving there or realigned anything. You have to go and look for it. So that's one side of Carrick Street. Shall I continue? Right, coming down the other side from opposite John Stocker School, which was caught fire, wasn't it? A couple of boys set fire to it some years ago. Well, my mother cried because it was her son's school. With Union Street gone up in flames, I don't think she'd have bothered because it was my son went to that school. And he went to South Africa to live anyway. Anyway, Carrick Street, it was a lovely sweet shop called Albany Smith. Two men looked after it, but it was Albany Smith. And it was just sweets, nothing but sweets. Nowadays, shops seem to cover, you go to a garage and you get anything in a garage, kind of flowers, chocolates, anything, papers. But Albany's was just sweets, all sweets, with ration books we had, of course. And I remember at the end of the war, he got ice cream in, which was a treat. We didn't have ice cream or bananas or oranges or anything. Perhaps that's why we all grew up skinny. But I remember going there, ice cream, and run all the way down Carrick Street to Powder Road to get in with this ice cream. I can't remember whether it melted on the way, I don't know. Further down, there was a hairdresser that I went, used to say, little booklet, fourpence a week, towards my perm. I don't know what a perm cost then, but you know, should never have bothered. Go in there for hairdresser. Beside that was Escott's the Baker's, another baker shop. Very nice shop, Escott's. And that's almost on the corner of the entrance to the Methodist Church. But going back a little bit, corner of Wardrow Road, I think it was Ernie Pyle Bicycles. Big corner shop. Yeah, and there was a fish shop inside. Up in Buddle Lane, there was also another fish and chip shop, but I can't remember their name. But that takes me down to the Methodist Church. I used to go to the church club there. We always went to Sunday school in the morning. And there was a lovely club in the evening, Methodist. And then sometimes I'd go to St. Thomas Church because there was a nice youth club there. But the Methodist Church always had a nice evening service and a sort of chat, an enjoyable evening. And one of the teachers was known as Sniffer West because he sniffed a lot when he was speaking and everybody knew him as Sniffer. As Sniffer West. But it was a lovely church. It's altered now. I do occasionally go out there. If I see a coffee morning, I think I'll just go back to the Methodist. The front has been all altered. It's sort of a nice foyer inside, but before it was just an ordinary door to walk in. And, you know, I must have been a very curious child because a neighbour, Mr. Parnell, died. And I went to his funeral, sat at the back of the church. I was just curious what happens in a funeral. All sorts of things. But anyway, I sat at the back of the church, the back of Methodist Church, for his funeral. I had two lovely sons, Tony and Bill. Then going past the church, we come to Luxton's, the chemist. And Mr. Sines was almost a doctor. My mother never took us to the doctor. We were a pretty healthy crowd. Anything wrong with it, she'd go and see Mr. Sines. Tall man with glasses, very nice chap. And he would recommend something told my mother how to make ointment, mix some white in the basin, a basin full with all the children, scrape your knees when you fall down. And she'd have this bowl of white medicine or ointment to put on us. But we never went to the doctor, never had a doctor. There was always a school nurse, of course, come and ripple up the back of your head, looking for nits, but never a doctor, but he was very good. In fact, when I was married, my husband had alopecia, which is a nervous system, and he had clumps of hair. And we went to see Mr. Symes, and he was working in North Street then, a chemist right at the top of North Street. And he went down his basement, came back with a little bottle of something, some sort of mixture, etc., to rub that in. And he got over it, but as it grew out snow white. So he was a bit patchy until it all went white. But that was Mr. Symes. That was Luxon's. Then there was next to a vegetable shop. I think it was called Denham's, because I was at school with Margaret Denham, and I think it was something to do with her, but I can't really remember the name. Then next was Mrs. Reeves' chip shop. Wonderful. The chips are like a cone like that. Newspaper, salt, vinegar, all come out the bottom with the fat. Lovely. But really good fish and chips there for about fourpence, something like that. And they used to open at different times than they do now. They open like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they close early. But they'd open about 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock. So it was quite a different regime for chip shops then, fish and chip, quite different, not sort of calling on your way home from the nightclub that you can now. Then there was the Sawyer's Pub, which is now a Wetherspoons, isn't it? But it wasn't like that, it was just a proper pub as we went by. Never went into a pub as a child, we never, no, never. I didn't go in a pub until I got a boyfriend, I think, or got engaged. Then there was Hodges, a nice house, which is still there, a bit down on the left. And I think they used to run a taxi service there. There was a nice pond in the front of the house, outside the front door. And the house is still there, so I don't know what it is. It's quite a big Georgian flat-fronted house. Then there's Prospect Place. A friend of my mum's lived in Prospect Place, and I think her son still goes on memories. And I've forgotten his name right now. Norman, John Norman. He goes on extra memories, I believe. There were a lot of cottages in there. There were a lot of little alleyways down through Cowick Street. I read yesterday, I looked it up, Cowick Street in the 40s, on my iPad. There's a whole list of little tucked away cottages. Amazing. Then we came to the St Thomas, the big fire headquarters there, which was came Age UK with Mears, but that's closed now and the windows are all blocked up now, aren't they? Something else in their offices. But I have been in there to lunch with someone, but that's no longer there. Then we come to St Thomas Park, and I'd walk through St Thomas Park every day for school, there and back, no cars or anything, you know. To take you there. We'd walk to school every day. And they had lovely plane trees in there with big leaves. Mm. And I'd always pick up a leaf and split it like that. Split all the foliage out and you're left with like a skeleton of the leaf. A lovely walk through the park. But there was always a boy at the end of an alleyway there who used to terrify me. He seemed to be lying wait for any of us girls going through and just a bit menacing. Didn't like him at all. Used to scare me. And that was the only way into the school. Then there was, just past the park, a few shops, but there was Anderton and Rowlands. Used to store their vehicles in there and their papers. So that's why it's called Carousel Court now. Probably a lot of people don't know that. But that's quite interesting that they should carry on the name of the fairground people. I think that's lovely. And going on a bit further down, I'm getting a bit lost with them now, but there were Norton's Bicycles. My mum bought my first bicycle there. Being the youngest, I was lucky. All the others had to save for their own, but spoiled baby, I suppose. You know, my dot. There's Casalucci, nice ice cream parlour. Mm-hmm. Then we come to the debtor's prison on the corner of Buller Road. I've been in there. Christine Trigger was quite an authority on Exeter, on the history. I was at school with Christine. She died last year, year before, not long ago. I did have an argument with her. I went into St Thomas Library, which was the old shop there, and she had some photographs on a board, and she had a picture of the swimming baths down on the river by the railway bridge. Well, I would swim there in the river with all the little minnows and things flying by, sailing by rather. And she said, yes, I don't know how you got across to the field to get there. And I said, well, we didn't. It was just inside the iron gates. No, no, it's on the far side. And I couldn't get her to believe that the swimming huts were the roadside, because the photograph had a lot of trees there, which is going up the back of the St David's there and all around there. Mm. But she would not have it. No, she says, I don't know how you got there. Did you go around to Exwick to get in? Well, no, you didn't. So I gave up on that. Then there's Buller Road and Whipple's, the ecclesiastical there. Mm-hmm. Now, my sister Iris worked there doing night work with parachutes until she left to go into the WAF. So she never went back there. When she came out, she went to Holloway Prison. I quite enjoy telling people I've got a sister. She went to Holloway Prison. And their faces drop. What's she doing telling you stories like that? But she was a wardress there. And I think because she was a sergeant in the WAF, she liked a bit of authority. And she worked in Holloway, yeah, which was hard going. But it did make her rather hard. She didn't have much emotion. She didn't cry much, you know, nothing sort of upset her. And then there was a pub. The pub, which is still there, I think, isn't it? I can't remember the name of it. Just past the railway. And you know, there are 72 arches. If you go along St Thomas Railway to St David's, I think there are about 72 arches. Amazing, that, isn't it? All the way along to behind Marks and Spencer's now. Yes, all the way along. And then we came to Lethbridge's. There was a picture on what I looked at yesterday with Tony Lethbridge is very keen on getting extra speedway up again. He's quite an authority on it. And there's a photograph of his father's uncle with all the birds, the game, hanging up outside. The whole of the front of Lethbridge's was covered. Must have been Christmas time, with all the fowl and geese and pheasants and everything hanging outside. He'd be worth contacting, Tony Lethbridge. Mm. That's it. That's about it. That's my life in however long that took.
That's wonderful. Dorothy, thank you so much for that. I felt like I was walking up the road down again.
Well done. Yeah.
Can I just ask another question before we switch it off? So how long were your family in St Thomas?
How long?
Yeah,
Until the end of the war, and then there was a 3-bedroom house for 9 of us with no bathroom. We used to go to the city baths and have a 4 pence a bath, you know, every week. So our parents said, well, we've got to move, we can't have all you adults in the house. Because we used to sleep sort of 3 in the bed, me in the middle and my next two sisters other end, mum and dad in the corner, and then 2 sisters in another bedroom. And I don't know what happened to the rest, just my brother had to have his own bedroom, of course, because we're all teens, and teens were sort of going up gradually, but we're all very close together, not much gaps between any of us. My elder sister was 13 before I was born, and she had gone to live with my aunt as a 13-year-old. My aunt said, well, I think she took the wrong one. She should have taken one of the younger ones, because the older one could have been much more help to my mum. So we moved to Heavitry, a four-bedroomed house. And then my brother went to South Africa, got married. My sister went to Yorkshire, got married. Another one went to Uganda, got married. One went to America, got married. So that left us sort of three back with mum and dad again in a four-bedroom house. But it was always home to us. Powden Road was always home. And we always had to go back to Powden Road to see our old house. But home was this four-bedroom house in Heavitry. And then I was the last one at home. I got married and left home. And so they moved to a smaller cottage in Heavitry in Honiton Road, right on the fork, going up to Middlemore. Four little cottages there. Yeah, so that's how we all managed. But my sister Mary always called me Hub because I kept the family together. I made sure everybody knew what was going on. When my brother came home from Africa, everybody came home. My sister came from the States, Uganda, Yorkshire, they all, because he was home. And my mother said, I feel like a queen. We were all around her.
Yeah. Wonderful. And going back the other way, how when did your family first arrive in St Thomas? Yeah.
Well, it must have been the early 20s. I think from about Jane downwards were born here, but I think Marjorie, Iris, Enid, probably three were born. Enid was born in 1922. So they must have moved about the time when that Powden Road was built. That was their first home, just built.
Right.
And so it was all young couples that had moved in with children. And when we played street games, there was a horde of kids all around the lamp, right in the centre of the road, by the lamppost. And there was always a dip in the road. I don't know if it still is. But, you know, when they came to tarmac the roads, they always left a pit or marble pit. And we go out and play marbles, eggies, and a big one, and all sorts. Yes, and then we used to play ducks across the water. And there was curb or wall. Crowd, like, go. And you have to touch the curb or touch the wall, and then come back and do the reverse. This is stupid. And then the boys would climb the lamppost. That sort of thing. Yeah, but. And I had a metal hoop and a stick that my uncle made for us. Simple. Just roll a stick and a hoop around the road. Tops, put some silver paper on the top, wrap your string around it, pull it, and go, woo, or else it didn't. Yeah, all sorts of lovely games. But like now, they come in seasons, like tennis these days. I see the children next door, the balls come over them because it's tennis time or whatever. But and then we had fairgrounds and the dump. That was lovely. That was really exciting. I remember Dutch Cross of Order and What's the Time, Mr. Wolf? The other one. I should think of all these when I'm not there, when you're not here. I don't know. Anything else?
Yeah, and so does your family go further back in Exeter and heritage? Or
no, my dad came from Bristol.
Oh, right.
He was the eldest of 11. And I'm still trying to do his research, but with a family called Williams, it's terribly hard. There's a Welsh background. Mm. My grandmother, my dad's mother, she and her husband are buried in Warmley. My grandmother, Voysey, and her husband are buried up at the Higher Cemetery. But I never went with my mum to tidy. She's always going to tidy her grave, and I never went with her. But I have sort of done research on that. You can go through the church books, the burials, and they just say it's up near the chapels. It's that area. Mm. But I never could tell. But strange about about my grandma, Voysey. She was called Hannah Burnett. And I found them yesterday, the marriage certificates. She was 23 and John Bishop was about 28, and they married. Then they had a son who he lost touch with, didn't know, went to Wales, I think, don't know. And then he died, and in 1883, She was 23, I think. All of a sudden, 10 years later, her wedding certificate says she's 40 because he was 65. She met a widower. They lived in Holloway Street. And she met a widower, and there was such a vast difference in their age that she said she was 40, and I've got both wedding certificates. So she fibbed. So it looked as if he was only 25 years older instead of 30, because he had a grown family of five daughters. And I only know one was Mrs. Otten. Otten's in the 4th Street, and a Mrs. Dalgleish. So, but I think they sort of looked down on my grandma a bit, because she was a young widow, and they were afraid, you know. But he didn't. He left what would be now £1 million to his first son. And I think they lived out at Kenton Way. I think that's where my grandfather's family were. There's a Boys, another well-known Devon name. But so the mystery of my grandfather's side, I can't follow. But my grandmother Boise, she was Hannah Bishop. Hannah Burnett was her maiden name. Then she became Mrs. Bishop. But now she became Mrs. Boise. And that was my mum and her sister as a result. Oh, it's up too long. I've got my family tree here. I'm still recording.
Oh, look at that. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, who did this?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's John Boyce, eh?
Yeah.
And that's Anne Burnett Maiden. Mm. First marriage, second marriage. And that's my mum and dad. His grandparents. This is my mum and dad. Then they have Marjorie, Iris, Enid, Cyril, but we call him Bill. Mm-hmm. Sylvia, we call her Jane. Yeah. Patricia, Valerie, Dorothy.
Aww.
And my...
We'll turn the recording off now. At the moment, just we're looking at a beautifully sewn tapestry of Dorothy's family tree. But I'm going to say thank you very much indeed to Dorothy now, and we're going to enjoy some time looking at her pictures too.
Thank you.